Today, if we could magically transport you to your favorite place on the planet, where would you be?
Right here.
Sam would be here. Where would you be? Would you be here? Would you maybe be on a golf course? Not just any golf course, the golf course. You know which one? Pebble Beach. Have you been to Pebble Beach? Where you look over the coast and you see seagulls. Maybe you hear a few seagulls. Maybe you see a couple ships chasing whales out in the horizon. There's just enough breeze to keep things from being the slightest bit sticky, but there's not the kind of breeze that would affect the flight of your golf ball, although sometimes having it affected would be very helpful. It's this beautiful day where you are in a foursome with your very, very favorite people in the world. It's just amazing. Maybe that's where you'd be. Or maybe I have a friend who used to go to Grand Springs. Now she goes someplace else. Her very favorite place in the world is a cruise ship. Almost any cruise ship, but the cruise ships that are extra big and extra wonderful. Oh, I love to cruise, she would say. And if you'd say, have you been to the Caribbean? Oh, she'll name a cruise ship. Or if you've been to Alaska, she'll name a cruise ship. Have you been to Europe? Yes, I've named. And she can imagine the cabin manager who would wait on her and the kind of food where you turn the corner and there it is, all the food. That would be her magical place if we whisked her away. Maybe your place would be along Highway 1. You've been along Highway 1 in California. You don't want to go like 300 miles on Highway 1. It's not magical after about 75 miles. But maybe you want to be driving along Highway 1. Maybe you're bicycling. Maybe you're in a convertible. Maybe you're on a trail up in the Sierra Nevada, where you turn a corner and there is mountain grandeur with snow and a valley below and the bright green of spring and actually almost enough water. Maybe it would be in your backyard. Maybe it would be by a beach someplace. Do you have your place picked out? How many of you picked a city? Like, of all the places we could whisk you to, you would say, right downtown. Of all the places on God's green earth you could be, if you could pick a beach, or you could pick a mountain, or you could pick a lake, you could be at Lake Tahoe. Mark Twain says about Lake Tahoe, you take your average Egyptian mummy, you bring them to Lake Tahoe, 3 days, they're fully restored. Maybe that's... How many of you would pick a city? You see, what's interesting about the narrative arc of the Bible, it begins in a garden. We are planted in a garden. We have fruit trees, and we have everything imaginable. We have perfect, we have perfection, perfect harmony between people, with us and nature. Everything is wonderful. It begins in a garden, and it ends, the Bible says, in a city. Most of us, when we think about being whisked away to some magical, restoring, healing, amazing, life-giving place, a city's not on the list. But God brings us to a city, he says, and it's the city that is the symbol of hope for us that keeps us going through difficult times. That's what we want to talk about for a little while. But first, maybe we can remind ourselves why we long for a city, why we long for a place of healing, why we long for a place of restoring. We don't need to talk about this long, but it's worth mentioning a few things. In the world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. Have any of you experienced trouble in the last week? Is this something you've read about in books? Have you read novels where there are trouble? Have you seen television shows where there are trouble? Have you seen documentaries where there are trouble? Have your neighbors told you about their troubles? Do you need people to tell you about, have you no trouble? My son Luke woke up, he lives in China, he's 25 years old. He's lived in China the last 3 years. He woke up 4 weeks ago, he couldn't hear out of one ear. I exaggerate, it's not quite true. He could hear only half out of one ear. And instead of the silence of not hearing, there was a pounding, a multi-sound pounding that for the past 4 weeks has not stopped. This happens to one in 20,000 people in the United States. You wake up one day and you've lost your hearing. We thought it was because he was in China, so we took him home, like emergency trip home, which is sort of dicey if your ear is funky. Do you get on a plane? Do you not get on a plane? What do you do? So he's been home the last week seeing doctors. He won't be here today because he's disoriented by multiple sounds. 25 years old, and if there's a sound over here, and there's a sound over here, and the sound over here, his ears can't quite compute anymore because he woke up one day with half his hearing gone in one ear. That's what we call trouble. But he would say, and so many of you would say, well, that's bad to not have hearing, but leukemia might be worse. Or waking up with a lump in your breast might be worse. Or having another debilitating disease might be worse. Having blood cancer might be worse. There is trouble in the world. Have you noticed that? Did you read it a little bit? Or maybe you saw this small town, Ohio, like some crazy thing where this guy shoots multiple people from the same family? And you think, that's crazy. My hometown of Kalamazoo, Michigan was in the news a few weeks ago, not because of amazing things or its sons and daughters that have gone on and to California things, but because of this Uber driver turned executioner who decided just to shoot random people, father and son shopping for cars, he shoots them. In the world, you will have trouble. And maybe you say, well, I don't need to read news. I have plenty of trouble at home. I think about my own children. I think about my parents. I think about my siblings. And you say, when's the last time you called? Well, we don't call. They don't call us. Because something happened a long time ago. Maybe months ago, maybe years ago, and we don't talk anymore. In the world, you will have trouble. But Jesus said, fear not, because I give you a symbol of hope. We've been studying since Easter the book of Revelation. And each week in Revelation, what we've been saying in the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, crazy, wild, amazing, startling, astonishing images. Each week we've been saying, it's fundamentally about the Jesus who has risen from the dead. It's fundamentally about risen Jesus in all his power and his glory. And we talked about that in Revelation 1, this picture of Jesus. Then Revelation 2 and 3 are letters to very specific churches who are going through very specific troubles. And then we talked about imagining the throne room of heaven in Revelation 4, 5, 6, and 7. And then between Revelation 8 and Revelation 19, which we've not spent any time on, is there's all kinds of trouble. And then at the end of the whole Bible, at the end of the book of the Revelation, God opens up the future and says, here's what it's going to be like. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be filled with so much hope that seeing that city, experiencing a glimpse of it, wondering what it would be like to be whisked away to that city will help you get through whatever trouble you're going through today and this month and this year. Let's read it together, the book of Revelation, chapter 21 a little bit, and 22. It's tempting to read gobs and gobs of this. We're just going to read some of it. It's in the folder you were given. Revelation 21, verse or two from chapter 21, and then the first part of chapter 22, the last chapter in the Bible, goes like this. And then he carried me away in the Spirit. This is an angel who's sort of a tour guide of heaven for the Apostle John. He carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high, and he showed me Pebble Beach. And he showed me Lake Tahoe. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Revelation 21 earlier, it talked about the heavenly city coming down from heaven to earth as a bride waiting for its bridegroom. That's sort of an interesting, a city wearing a bridal gown. That's an interesting picture. And then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God, and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night, for they will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. That's a glimpse, and we're going to read a few more verses, but what did you notice about the heavenly city, this heavenly symbol of hope? What did you notice about this city? It's great and it's high. Let me read a few of the verses that are in between in chapter 21. It says this, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine up, for the glory of God gives it light and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light and the kings of earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's so many things we could point out about this heavenly city that could stir our hope, that would get us through the trouble we're in. I just want to list three and then maybe a fourth at the end. One of the things, and this is why I tagged this on, in Revelation 21, it talks about this city will have, chapter 21, verse 24, the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Think about that. In the new city, the city that ends all time, the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Now, John's imagining a city, and in Revelation 21, he measures it. Do you know how big the city is? It's like 1,400 miles cubed. So 1,400 miles one way, 1,400 miles the other way, 1,400 miles high on some way. So it's this unimaginable, amazing thing to imagine. But the kings of earth bring their splendor into the city. Can you imagine a city where everything good is in it? Let's do a little imaginary trip. If you were a king of France and you were bringing your splendor of France into the city of heaven, what would you bring? You would bring wine, wouldn't you? You would bring French wine, overflowing. There would be wine from France for any meal you want. You want wine even for breakfast. It sounds great. But this is the city of God, so we can imagine. You could have French wine any time of day. Have you been to France? You would have bread. I had a friend who lived in France for a while, and he said, Kevin, it's worth going to France just to have bread and cheese. Like, if you have French bread, it doesn't taste like it does out of Raley's or out of Bel Air. It tastes different somehow because of the air and because of everything. Just to have bread or cheese. The cheese. J'aime la fromage. Anybody? I mean, that was bad, I know, but I love cheese. I love cheese. If you are going to bring something, French might even bring their language. Everything sounds cooler in French. I love cheese or j'aime la fromage or some version of that. I love you, je t'aime beaucoup. Something like that, right? Everything's cool. So that's what you'd bring. If you were the king of South Africa, what treasures would you bring from your country? You might bring gold. I mean, it's famous for gold. It's famous for diamonds. You might bring some of the dances of some of the folks. You bring all your treasures into the city. If you were the king of Canada, what would you bring into the city? Hockey. Snow moving equipment that would be amazing in the city, just in case it snowed on the city of heaven one day or another. If you were from Switzerland, what would you bring into the city? Chocolates, people say. I was thinking banking, but okay, chocolates. Work with me. If you were from Germany, what would you bring into the city? Beer, schnitzel, isn't it? I was thinking automobiles, but okay, beer and schnitzel. I mean, all right. That's good. If you were from South Korea, what would you bring into the city? Q. You would bring Q. You would bring kimchi into. This is becoming participatory, isn't it? You would bring kimchi. You would bring food, wouldn't you? If you might bring. They would say you would bring a cell phone because Apple has nothing on Samsung, right? You would bring electronic equipment if you were from South Korea. If you were from Peru or from another place in Central America or South America, what would you bring if you were from? Coffee, Palooza is high on the list. And that really, if you were bringing the treasures of your nation into the city, you would fundamentally bring your people, wouldn't you? You would bring all the things your country is known for, but you would bring your people. One time I landed in New York City in JFK, and it had been a while since I'd been there, and there's four of us that landed together. A friend of mine grew up in New Jersey, just across the river. And he said, I know, I can guide us. We looked at the cab line. It looked like it was a two-hour wait to get into Manhattan where we needed to go and had appointments. So he said, that's no problem. Let's take the bus. It'll be faster. I do not believe this person. We did a tour of an unintended $2 tour of every borough in New York City. And as we got, people from Africa got on and got off with African languages. People from Central and South America got on and got off, depending on the neighborhood. People from Eastern Europe got on and got off, depending on. People who had been in Manhattan for three, four generations got on and got off. It was a tour of every language in every continent. And I thought, that's what cities have, isn't it? The treasure of cities are people. I have a friend that says God loves cities more than the country because God loves people more than animals and plants. And the city is full of people. So imagine a city full of the treasures of God's good earth that have been brought into the city. That's one thing. There's another thing about this heavenly city, and I didn't read much of this too, but I will now. Listen to this. The angel who talked to me, this is 21 again, had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, and the city was laid out like a square, and I talked about all that. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold as pure as glass. The foundations of the city were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, and you get the rest of the idea, right? The gates were made of pearls and they never shut. This is the city of heaven that's come down to earth, and it is beautiful. One of the things we ask ourselves, should cities invest in things just because they're beautiful? Should cities build a new stadium, a basketball stadium, just because it might be beautiful? Should cities build bridges and not just make them functional, but make them beautiful? Would it be okay if the Golden Gate was just flat and gray? It would be okay, but it wouldn't be great, right? Should cities put rabbits in their airports? Now I just opened up a hornet's nest, didn't I? How much would you spend? But yeah, the answer is, God's city has beauty to it. It has precious gems. Part of the beauty is the people. Part of the beauty is the treasure of artistic expression for all times and places that have been brought in the city. So this heavenly city, this one we're hoping for, this thing that's going to stir us, has the treasures of all nations in it. It has the beauty of all nations in it. And we want to talk about this a little bit longer. It has, did you notice in Revelation 22, it has the water of life flowing down its boulevards, and it has the tree of life that bears fruit every month and whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. Do you see how restorative that is? Nations, can you imagine Israel and Lebanon, Israel and its neighbors, Israel and Palestine getting along and living in harmony? I was in Jerusalem one time and toured Bethlehem. To tour Bethlehem, you have to cross a wall that's several feet thick and about 30, 40 feet high, painted with graffiti. And before you get on, there's some couple young Israelis with machine guns who get on. They're like 19, 20 years old, and they go up and down the bus. Imagine going through from one place to the other. Imagine going from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. There is no wall. And there are no young people with machine guns because the healing leaves have healed the cities. Imagine countries, someone said the United States doesn't really know what trouble is because it's surrounded on two sides by countries that like it, who are neighbors, and the other side by fish. And most countries have people who don't like them on their borders. Sort of interesting to think about. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. Can you imagine a place where physically, think about my son Luke. I mean, one of the things we're learning is the ear is pretty mysterious. We don't have it, like, the knee is pretty mysterious too, and elbows are pretty mysterious, and our intestines, but let's not go there. There are a lot of mysterious things, but the ear especially, it vibrates and it does things, and who can make it vibrate like it's supposed to after it has stopped? It's just kind of mysterious. But imagine you go to a city where you're now healed. And some of you have gone, I talked to a friend last week, he's in his 50s. Since he was born, he hasn't heard out of one ear. And you go to the place where there's healing, and now you are healed. Or imagine you think, I'm going to spend a significant portion of my life in a wheelchair. But you think about the place where there's healing, and you think, not if I go to that place. Right? Why do people go to Mayo Clinic? Because it's supposed to be a little foretaste of heaven, where it has the healing leaves of the nation. Some of you are saying, maybe I proked, you know, okay, this is an image, right? It's a metaphor. Like, yes, it's a city coming down, but there's all kinds of metaphors in the book of Revelation especially, but all through the Bible. And that doesn't mean they're real. I know it's a metaphor. But so many of the Bible's metaphors have truth to them. God is our Father. It's a metaphor. And we are His children. Isn't that a metaphor that's also true? It is. So heaven is a city. It's a metaphor. But isn't it also true that God loves cities? So He says to the prophet Jonah, go to Nineveh, that great city. And Jonah says, no, because you're going to like those people. And I don't like the people who live in the city. I only like people who live in the suburbs. And he says, go anyway. And he gets swallowed by a fish. And then on it goes. And finally, he's all frustrated that these people in the city that he doesn't like become followers of God, at least for a brief moment. He says, I knew you were compassionate, gracious, and kindness, and it ticks me off. Because I don't want people in the city to experience that. Or there's times when the people of Israel brought into captivity against their will, and they're tempted to stay on the edge of the city all by themselves and to marry amongst themselves. And God says, no, 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 pray for this great city. Go into it. Do business in this city and live in this city and marry in this city and bury in this city. Go into that city because I love that city, and you will bless the people around you because you're a part of that great city. Some of you say, well, okay, so what? This is all about hope, and if I don't have a hearing problem or if I don't have a limp or if I don't have a physical problem, so what? The so what is that we, between now and when, here's the thing about the heavenly city. It's only partial. Jesus said, you will be a city set on a hill. So that's now. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are a city. That is what you are. But there's also a sense in which it's going to happen in the future. And until that day, while we live in this in-between, what do? Well, we work for the beauty of the city. We work to make things a more beautiful place. Just like we work to restore and heal families, we work to restore and heal cities. Our city, other cities. We work for the healing. We try to be the healing leaves of the cities. There's a pastor in Sri Lanka. His name is Agrif Fernando. And it was about 8 or 10 years ago where there was a number of churches burned in Sri Lanka because folks just didn't like Christians. They didn't want them around. They were from another religion. They didn't want to have anything to do with these Christians. They burnt churches down. It was only 6 or 9 months later that Christians from these same churches were responding to a national disaster in another part of the country. And Agrif was in a place where he was helping folks in that city, and the guy said, wait a minute, I recognize you. We burned your church down. And now you are helping me. And he said, that's because I follow the one who is participating in the healing of all things, and one day things will be better. So you see, until it's not just that we hope for that city, it's that we work for beauty, and we work for the healing of the nations, and we work for a healing of individual people, and we try to become people of beauty who promote beauty in all things because beauty heals us in some way we can't quite define. I said 3 things we're going to list about the city, maybe 4th. There's a 4th thing about the city, that heavenly city. We all have some mark on our forehead. It's a strange kind of image. It means, though, that we belong. You know, you look along, so Kathy, oh, she belongs. Oh, yeah. She belongs. He belongs. Aaron belongs. Yeah. Debbie belongs. Tim, yeah, with that bright, he's got to belong. Look at all these things. And everybody in the city belongs. Because what happens in the city? You go to the city and you try to prove yourself. You go to the city and you say, I'm going to be better than you are. And part of how I get better is I push you down. You go to the city and you say, I'm going to be smarter than you. And what's that song about New York say? If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. So if I can become a thing here, I can become a thing. And we push people down as a way to elevate ourselves up. And Jesus says, you don't have to do that in the city. You receive my grace. You receive my baptism promises. And you're not in competition anymore. You're in community now. So we live in that community, saved by the one who will one day bring us to a heavenly city. Can you imagine? Imagine if I give the same talk in a year and say, if I could magically transport you, if we could magically transport you any place, where would you go? And your first thought is, I would like to go to the heavenly city where there's the tree of life, where the river of life flows down the center and all the tree of life's leaves participate in the healing of the nations. Friends, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this amazing vision. We thank you that you don't leave us as we are. You don't leave us in our hurts. You don't leave us in our dis-ease. You don't leave us in our broken relationships, but you give us hope that points us to this new reality that you are creating. Would you help us hope in the one who brings that reality? And in hoping for the one who brings us that new reality, Lord, would you also make us agents of that new reality? We pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we say, amen.